gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guess I'm still with my nigga. Coming to the
I can't remember. I've been popping my
bills, been a bit keeping it lit. Me and my clique,
The daily races going nowhere,
What a week, week six was. Pip finally got a win. Scott finally lost. The Arizona Cardinals were part of two different come-from-behind wins. Cole Beasley had a big week right after he said he wouldn't. Andrew left a lot of points on his bench and again decided he would just flee the country because of it. So now we're into week seven, the midway point of the season where we start to get the playoff bracket spots filled out and see who have the roughest road in the consolation bracket of what as well. So speaking of standings, they work out like this in the form of the playoff bracket. The two teams right now with byes are Scott and Jared. They're both 5-1. They're playing each other this week. We hear from Scott later. The 4-5 matchup is Fronik against Luke. We'll hear from Fronik in a little bit. And the 3-6 matchup is Duncan against myself. So missing out on the playoffs, based on points scored, at 3-3 are Brandon and Austin. And then at 2-4, Jordan and Tim. And 1-5, Pip and Andrew, who played last week. So looking through the numbers through 6 weeks, Scott is our top scorer by 48 points over Luke, who scored 30 more than I have. Rounding at the top five are also Duncan and Jordan. In points against, it's a little interesting as well. Jordan is the most scored against, I'm the second most scored against, and Luke is third most scored against, which makes a lot of sense when you look at the last week's matchup with Luke and I. We had the third and second highest scores last week, and we're the second and third most scored against teams. We're both in the playoffs, so somehow that's working out. Now moving on to this week's matchup, we will soon be hearing from Nick, Hoaxback Mountain, and the previously lone undefeated team Scott Fulhauschka, who clearly lost because he skipped out on the pod last week. Only two NFL teams with a bye this week. That would be the Panthers and Dallas. We now get to welcome back Scott to the pod a week after he said he had to cancel to feed his cat. It is the owner of Fulhauschka. Scott, how's it going? Welcome back.
Ah, Dad. It's going pretty well. How are you doing, Rick?
Doing pretty great. We'll get to your loss, your first loss of the season. We'll get to that a little bit later. Our first matchup we're going to be talking about is Andrew, the newly named Girly. You can't be serious. I am serious. Don't call me Girly. Against Duncan, that is Marcus in Recreation. Andrew last week sent another league low in scoring with 66.9 points against Pip, while his leading score was DeAndre Hopkins, only 11, literally leaving more points on his bench than his starting lineup yet again. The only other player to score more than 10 was Philip Rivers. He had four players get over 5. Jay Ajayi was the starter in Miami. Ajayi was the starter in Miami, even though Arian Foster returned after 3 weeks gone. And then he rushed for 200 against the Steelers. Team Marcus in Recreation dropped to 4-2, the two-team silence of Michael Sam, who was carried by his own top three, going with his team namesake Marcus Mariota, QB, Ezekiel Elliott, and Jordan Howard were his top three scorers. This week, Andrew has to be looking to change his fortunes by going to another country and bringing someone who might be more fantasy smart with him to set his lineup. Andrew catches a huge break not having Zeke Elliott to go against his own team, even though he has some tough matchups at receiver and a couple toss-ups at running back. On the other side, it looks like Duncan is going to be hurting at tight end. Likely no Dwayne Allen will play for the Colts, but he has a lot of options to go to at his flex. What do you see happening in this matchup, Scott?
Well, I don't want to be too hard on Stoner because I used to be him. I used to have no fantasy knowledge at all, you know. But now it's like he's like not even trying. I don't know. Do you get that feeling?
Not that he's not trying, but I mean it's kind of it's definitely isn't on the front burner.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can say that when Dexter McCluster's on his bench, not starting. That's just a huge red flag for me.
See, I think that's you thinking what you would do, not what Andrew would do. I think Andrew's doing the right thing not having McCluster start.
So I'm like reverse engineering my team, imposing it onto his?
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess. Okay. Well, he's left Hunter Henry on the bench for the last 2 weeks.
At least, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge blow. I mean, that guy's – I just, like, saw an article on ESPN, like, is Hunter Henry, like, undervalued in most fantasy leagues? Didn't read it, but you get the idea. And Ajayi?
Ajayi.
He plays football, so I would start him if I was Stoner. And I like that Dunk is finally going with Marcus. It's good to see. He's a real Duck fan, as I assumed, but wasn't sure about it after he didn't start him through most of the league season. Sorry. I got Duncan by a lot. At least 69.
we agree on JHIE to start. I really think it's time to move Hunter Henry or Delaney Walker or Zach Miller. Like, pick, I guess you go with two tight ends. Pick two tight ends and just stick with them. But one of them has to go either via trade or you just drop a bad one. It doesn't look like Delaney Walker is being used like he would. Looking at Duncan's team, I think going with Marcus again should work out over Luck. The Colts have been really bad, as is the rest of the AFC South. Pip snapped out last week. The AFC South is like the NFC East, but worst. Melvin Gordon against the Falcons. That game could be a shootout. I'm not sure. The Falcons have not given up a 100-yard rusher this year. They did give up two scores to Christian Michael, but no running back has gone over 100 yards for them this season. Clearly, I've jinxed that. This leaves the door open for Duncan's flex. Who do you think he should go with at his flex?
For Dunk?
Yeah.
Well, you got to put Gordon at RB1 if Zeke is out this week. And I got Sanu, man. I'm a big Sanu guy. Yeah, so Dunk, let me know if you want to trade Sanu for one of my five tight ends.
You don't have five tight ends, actually, though, do you?
Not anymore. And I want to be clear on that. I'm officially off the two tight end train.
Choo-choo.
I'm actively trying to deal. Yeah, two. I'm officially off the train trying to deal Kelsey if anyone wants him.
Okay.
Because obviously I'm going to lose the rest of my games because I'm on a losing streak with two tight ends.
Well, you started the season with two tight ends pretty well, too, didn't you?
Yeah, but I got a real short memory. That's okay. How you win in this league. You got to have a short memory.
All right, so Andrew, I guess I'm telling Andrew to sell his tight ends. You're officially saying that it's tight end sale season then.
Yeah, fire sale.
Yeah. All right, so you got Duncan.
I mean, Zach Miller's no good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's had good weeks, though. That's the thing.
I guess I can't speak to that. I don't really know. I just know that Hunter Henry's been really good.
Hunter Henry has had better weeks. I guess Zach Miller is catching a lot, so the half-point PPR, I mean, he's gone 8-3-7-6 the last 4 weeks. He's just not getting a lot of yards with those receptions, so that's just a lot of points. Hunter Henry, though, on his bench, touchdowns the last 3 weeks. No less than 14 all of those 3 weeks, but his reception numbers are 4-3-6, and his yardage numbers are way higher than Zach Miller. So, I mean, to me, it's looking like Gates is on his way out, Hunter Henry is the next guy up, and he's got to be in that lineup. Like, Delaney Walker isn't being used as well as he was last year. Zach Miller is just catching the ball a lot. I think his two tight end train, choo-choo, has to be Henry and Miller. So, like, that's, I think, who he has to go with.
Guess so. He kind of burnt out his wide receivers with Mike Floyd not producing and Tavon losing the number one spot to Kenneth Britt, the greatest wide receiver in football.
A personal hero, so, right?
Oh, yeah. For a while now.
That's great to hear. So you have Duncan by a lot. I have Duncan by 12, but my guarantee of the week that it surely won't go wrong. I have Andrew not having the low score of the week. He's done that 2 out of the last 3 weeks, I think. He lowered the bar on his own low score. But I'm saying, Andrew, you will not have the low score of the week, but I don't see a win in your future.
Can I say a word to Andrew, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
I say, Andrew, go for it. Go for the lowest score you can get. Pull all your guys if you have to.
I mean, we shouldn't do that 7 weeks into the season. We shouldn't be, tanking already. I mean, again, what you do this season has no correlation with the draft next year other than what ball number.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm not going to rig it for Andrew. I'm certainly going to try and rig it for me again. Like, I need to get Julio, so.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, good. Now up, we have some Beckham on Beckham crime. Brandon, Silence of the Michael Sam is going against Austin. Bend it like Beckham Jr. Both teams won last week, and they are the only two teams that won last week that will play each other this week. It was a strong week from Odell. It was a strong week from Odell and Terrell Pryor, while overcoming the first really bad week from Tevin Coleman that he's had this year. Three really strong games from all of his wide receivers from Austin, and he needed it with the bad weeks he had from his running backs. This week is now a matchup of two teams right on the outside of the playoffs, looking in at 3-3. Jamaal Charles looks to be back after missing essentially 5 weeks. The real Odell has a tough matchup against the Rams in London. Excuse me. Austin gets Diggs back. Was that?
That's in London?
That game is in London, yeah. I think it starts at
They play football in London?
Football. And football.
You lost me on that one.
All right. Austin gets Diggs back healthy after the bye week, and his receivers look like he's got a lot more depth after he made that trade with Pip. What are you seeing in this matchup, Scott?
Well, I'm not seeing too much. I like Brandon's team with Odell, and then Terrell Pryor's, a monster. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much to say about this one. Jarvis is all right, but I don't think he's that great of an addition. Yeah, Brady's back. He'll do well. He'll score points, I guess. For an auto-drafted team, it's going to be a lot closer than it should.
Yeah, I think the trade with Pip mostly just added depth to his team, because you look at all of his injuries. I mean, Corey Coleman's still out, Deion Lewis still out, Jordan Reed questionable. I don't think he played last week. He did not play, and then Doug Martin is, doubtful to play on Sunday. So he definitely needed healthy bodies just to put into his lineup. Brandon's team has also been hurting. Palmer missed a game with a concussion. That was the game that Larry Fitz went off on Thursday night. Also the week Martellus Bennett went off when I said he wouldn't. Bennett's got that perfect thing going on. Terrell Pryor is a Brown, so, he's bound to, snap his Achilles.
Well, that's racist.
Well, no, he plays for the Cleveland Browns. Like, don't.
Oh, right. Okay.
Jesus.
Gotcha.
Come on, man. Carson Palmer.
He's pretty athletic.
Yeah, Carson Palmer and Larry Fitz, tough matchups against Seattle Sunday night. I don't think that they will have the same success that Julio and Matty Ice had. I do think that the Seahawks get a lot more flags on pass interference. Like, they're definitely should have been at the end of the other game. I'm not bitter.
Sure.
Three tough matchups for Brandon's receivers. Austin's got some okay ones, but the Rams defense is tough. Again, that game is in London. The Seahawks defense is tough, and the Cincinnati defense with Terrell Pryor and the rest of the Cleveland Browns is a tough matchup. Compare that to Brandon Cooks, who is a number one target. Again, Chiefs a tough defense, but Cooks can go off at any time. Chicago, Randall Cobb going against Chicago, essentially it's going to be a pass game. I mean, I don't think the Packers are going to run the ball a whole lot. Jarvis Landry and then Stephon Diggs play tougher defenses, but they're number one guys. So that could benefit them targets and receptions wise. To me, this is Austin's got four guys that I see as more boom than bust. I think it's a close one, but it's Austin by
boom.
Six.
Austin by six. It's a pretty narrow margin.
What if I said it was like 6.9, would that be better?
That'd be better, yeah. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
how has Ryan Matthews been this season? I haven't really checked in on the Ryan Matthews hype train, but I remember Austin talking to him about him.
Austin, he was right, basically, until he got hurt, because he had three touchdowns the first 2 weeks, and then the second week he hurt his shoulder or his arm or whatever it was.
Negative half-point game.
Right. And I think had he not been hurt then, I think he would have absolutely nailed it on the head that Matthews was going to be the guy that everybody wanted. But that injury that, you know, he didn't come back to, he was okay against Detroit, okay against Washington, and then a tough matchup this week with Minnesota doesn't make him exactly a big trade candidate. Plus, with all of the other injuries that Austin has had, he kind of has to, he's got to hold on to him.
Fair.
All right. Anything else on that?
I also want to read out to Austin with the tight end offer. I see he's starting Jesse James. Don't really know what that is, but it's tough. Jordan Reed's hurt, obviously. What's Jordan Reed's injury? I see he's got a little Q next to his name. Don't know what that means.
He's questionable. Returning to practice from a non-contact injury. It looks like a concussion, possibly, which, I mean, you need contact for that. So I'm not sure what they're reporting here, but that seems wrong.
You're telling me you don't get concussed just walking around?
No, not generally, unless you're like Sam Bradford.
Bram Sadford, yeah.
All right. Anything else on this one?
Nah.
All right. We will move on then. Finally, it is your matchup, Scooter, against Jared. Last week, you lost your first game of the season as David Johnson went for 33, and Jordan ended up winning by 7 on Monday night.
That was stupid.
Yeah. What were you feeling on that Monday night?
I was feeling a lot of angst, you know, for not starting Taint or anybody on my bench, really. So I'm just going to count that one as a win for now in my book. I was pretty mad about it, but not that mad about it. I'm still 5-1, and Jordan's like 2-4. 2-69, I don't know.
2-4. We haven't played that many weeks yet.
Long season, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, what, you got to walk us through. Like, how were you feeling when you were watching David Johnson score, like, every touchdown that Arizona scored that night? Was it a slow
I kind of already...
Go
well,
ahead.
I was actually not watching the first half, so it didn't hurt that bad until I got home, and then I got to see that what he had done. It really didn't surprise me. I knew DJ was going to go off for a lot. I told Jordan that multiple times. He tried to play it like he didn't really think he was going to do well, but obviously, you know. Lamar Miller did all he could to give me that 30-point lead or 25-point lead almost.
Yeah, he had a huge Sunday night.
Yeah, but any week that Kenny Britt scores 25 points for your team or more, you shouldn't expect to win because that would be too good to be true.
Wow, that's very right. All right, let's move on from the past. We're not about that here. We look to
I'm
your
stuck
battle
in the past, man.
All right, you got to move on, Scott. It's time. I'm telling you right now, you have to move on. Okay, have you moved on?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. It is a battle of the top two teams in the league. Jared had a surprisingly good week from Cole Beasley, just like he said he wouldn't, and a good week from his running backs. But now we have a battle for the true number one spot, a one-game lead in the standings. It's all on the line halfway through the season. What do you like in your matchup this week?
Well, I like DeMarco at Indy, or playing Indy. I like Matt Ryan to tear up Jared's Chargers and give me about 69 points. And that'll be a double burn on Jared because I'm beating him in fantasy and Matty Ice is beating him in real life. So
I wrote that.
If you notice, I
wrote that down in my notes. I said, I like you using Matty Ice in two ways against Jared this week. So I hope he gets a double burn as well.
Two ways, yeah. Nice. I had to get rid of Derek Carr finally. First week I've not played Derek Carr, so that's a lot. That's a big move for me. I hope you guys all like kind of understand how big that is for me. My best player is back this week. Like, should have been taken number one overall, the Vikings defense. So that's exciting. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
What do you think about Jared's team, looking at them? Are you worried about anyone?
Nah. Amari Cooper might score a lot. He's pretty good. Calamari Cooper, sorry.
Yeah, Calamari, his true name. Yeah, I would think that all of the running backs in this matchup are washes. I think anything Lamar and DeMarco do, it can be matched by Gurley and Anderson. I think that's
Gurley aren't serious.
Well,
yeah, they're there.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Wow. On the spot. I like that. Very good. Evans against San Francisco could be problematic. Calamari Cooper against Jacksonville could be a little tough. Matthews against your Minnesota defense, he probably won't do much. And then Jared's really starting Vernon Davis. I would say maybe you could try and push off Kelce to Jared. I guess you don't have to play him twice.
Oh, I'm trying.
Oh, you are?
He actually reached out to me first, yeah.
So would you like to ask me, or do you want me to just say that I shouldn't push through any trades until after the games have started Sunday if something comes together?
Yeah, can you, well, just save me for myself and don't, like, push any through any of my trades? Like, just let me ride out this week, and then next week maybe you can kind of rig the system for me a little bit more.
All right, I'll see what
I can do. But I'm pretty confident in my team, yeah. And I got to be honest, not to, like, ignore Jared's team because he's got a good team, but talk more about my team. Who would you start for my bench? Would you start like a Willie Snead or a T.J. Yeldon character over somebody I have in right now?
Big fan of Willie Snead. Mostly because
I feel the Snead.
The need
the
for Snead.
Speed.
Ooh, that'd be a good name. How is no one? Pip will probably change his name to that next week, or maybe Andrew will or something. The need for Snead. Snead had the good. Big week one, but it's seeming like Michael Thomas is kind of getting all of his red zone catches that aren't also going to Brandon Cooks for like 88-yard touchdowns. I don't think Dookie Johnson is the best play.
Hey.
So I'm glad you're thinking about moving him. Maybe Travis Benjamin against Atlanta's defense. It's, you know, I guess if he gets paired up against Trufant, he might get shut down. But if he's going up against Alford or another safety or linebacker, I think Rivers could find him. Is T.J. Yeldon still the number one back in Jacksonville?
I think Ivory got all the carries.
Okay.
Well, like, it was like 13-7, like, carries to Ivory.
Yeah, I would look either Benjamin or Robert Woods before going with Willie Snead, before going with Dookie Johnson. But that's just me.
I like Dookie Johnson, though. And Robert Woods is, you never know what he's going to give you.
Yeah, so he's been very up and down. It looks like a couple bad weeks, a good week, a bad week, a good
six
week.
To midnight.
So, yeah, he's all over the place.
You're saying 1.5 points is bad?
It's not great. You know?
Well, interesting. Yeah. Also, Allen Robinson has really frustrated me this season. I've been holding on to him because, I mean, you got to hold on to a number two pick, right? Like, not necessarily. But he's not really producing like I thought he would.
Yeah, he's had a tough year.
Must be a Jag thing.
Yeah. He did have that 6.9 against the Chargers.
That was good.
That was a good one. But, yeah, coming off the bye, I think everybody expected the Chicago-Jacksonville game last week to be more of a shootout instead of a defensive struggle. So that game hurt everyone. Like, the NFL took a huge hit just as an entity, just having that game scheduled and on TV. But his game's coming up. Oakland, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Houston. I mean, weeks 9 and 10 are tough matchups. And then he gets Detroit, Buffalo, Denver. I think Oakland and Tennessee, he could turn it around. But, I mean...
Well, not against Oakland.
Not against Oakland?
Nah. The best secondary in the league? Huh. Kidding me?
You're talking down your fantasy team to talk up your fan team? The local squad?
Big time. Yeah. You got to.
Yeah. All right. Any last-minute smack talk and then a game prediction for Jared?
Yeah, I got some smack talk. Congratulations, Jordan. I'll see you in the playoffs. Oh, no, I probably won't. All right, and then I think I got me by 10 points.
Yeah, I've got you by 4. I think Jared's matchups this week aren't great, but I do see you winning, and then you take the commanding one-game lead for the number one spot.
That's huge, man. Plus, me and Jared have a bet riding on this game. I don't know if he told you.
No, please share.
He's gonna buy, if I win, he's going to name his firstborn son after my cat. So,
which cat?
Pretty big game. Well, it's like a first name and middle name type thing. You take both names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then if he wins?
I haven't thought of that yet. We haven't decided on anything yet, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It's like if he wins, nothing happens. But if I win, like that happens.
That's a fair bet. That's always a fair bet when, you know, you get something and the other person doesn't when they win. That's fair.
I feel like you were kind of sarcastic there.
Yes, I'm glad you picked that up.
Mm. Yeah. All right, now that's all I have.
All right, well, thanks, Scott, for feeding your cat ahead of time and being able to come back on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll see you guys next time.
All right.
B.
Now on the pod, it's Nick, owner of Hokeback Mountain, making his second appearance on the podcast. Welcome back, Fronik.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Been itching to get back onto the pod. It's been a little while. I've been pretty busy, but excited to be on this week.
All right, well, let's jump right in. We're going to start with Pip versus Jordan. Pip finally got a win last week against Andrew, and Andrew had the league's low score of 66.9 points in what was really an ugly matchup to look at. Pip was led by Drew Brees throwing the ball. Ingram didn't have a lot of rushing yards. Brees and Crowder were the only ones that got into double-digit scoring for Pitt's team. Sammy Coates came off a big week, put up a zero. And newly traded running back Matt Jones was on his bench, who had 19. Jordan had the biggest score of the week, 33 from David Johnson, saving himself from another loss, as well as Terrence West, who had a big week. Shot myself in the foot there. Probably should have waited to trade him. Wouldn't be the spot I was in now. Demarius Thomas snapped his three-game scoring streak. He was held out of the end zone. And Will Fuller had a zero, and it still wasn't enough for Scott to keep his season undefeated. For this week, Pip gets Christine Michael for me to be paired from Mark Ingram. Jordan went from having one really good running back to another top 20 back and rising with Jordan and Terrence West, also thanks to me. And he's got two wide receivers in the Monday night game, and could he catch lightning in a bottle with Colby Fleener? So what do you have to say about this one, Nick?
So I gotta give a shout out to Pip. I think he did a great job in his trades. He went 0-5, and then he started tearing down his team. And I really actually like his team now. He's gonna have to kind of get some production from his wide receivers, but I think he's made some good trades. I call this the matchup of two teams that have butt raped Rick in the last week via trade. I don't know what you're thinking with Christine Michael. I don't know what you're thinking with Terrence West. And who was the wide receiver you traded in that trade with Jordan?
Will Fuller,
yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see with him. But I like Macklin's schedule. We'll see how that pans out for you. But, I really liked the Christine Michael trade for Pip. That works. I thought that was a steal. Brees, Marshall, Ingram, and Christine Michael are good top four, I think. It kind of sucks with Geno because, well, Geno's shit. But... I think, when you got a stud, they're going to perform regardless. If it's like, Brandon Marshall or Antonio Brown kind of status, I think.
Brandon Marshall is, I mean, he hasn't been studly, though. He's had 200-yard games, and he's only got two touchdowns. Like, that's not, he's I mean, he's not even a top 20 wide receiver this season.
Well, on Monday night, I saw him make some moves. Yeah, it was a little, you know, tough to get the ball to him because he got Fitzmagic, you know, screwed him over. But I think he's top 20 at the end of this year. So, make that a hot take, I guess.
So he goes up two spots from 22 to 20?
Well, I did not know he was at 22, but yes. Then we'll say top 15 then, all right?
All right. I don't know. I don't like Brandon Marshall this season. He's gone over five receptions twice. So I guess he makes the most of his yards per catch, but I'm not the biggest fan of Brandon Marshall. We can walk through the trades I've made with Jordan and Pip after this, considering they're the last two trades I went before we talk about my matchup. I guess what else are you seeing here then?
Well, Hearns, Crowder, and no Reed in this matchup. We'll see. Well, Crowder with no Reed, that's what I meant to say. I think he gets a lot more targets because I don't know if Reed's going to start this week. And Hearns, he's got the Oakland secondary to play against. We'll see how they deal with Robinson. But I like his wide receivers. But I do like West versus the Baltimore run D. I know that sounds a little sketchy, but that's, we'll see. He's been tearing it up lately for Jordan. Not you anymore, of course. David Johnson's got a Seattle defense he's going to run against with, you know, Devontae Freeman and, as you well know, Tevin Coleman, your favorite running back in the Atlanta backfield. They both struggled against Seattle, so I don't know how David Johnson will do. I think he gets 10 or below. 10's still a reasonable number, but that just goes to show how good David Johnson has been this year. The Buffalo D, Andy Dalton and Steve Smith, I don't like those matchups. I like, for Pip, I like Breeze and Ingram's games they're going to have to go against. So I think Pip's on the upswing thus far, so I'm going to have to probably go with Pip.
Yeah, before I make my claim here, looking at Demaryius and Will Fuller, seeing as Will Fuller missed last week and he was basically just a scratch, but he didn't play, he's still kind of getting ready to play on Monday night. I think it's going to be interesting that you've got Houston and Denver's defense that can both shut down top receivers if they want to, which I think benefits Will Fuller more in that he becomes a third option in the pass game, seeing how good of a game Jalen Strong had last week when Fuller was out. Also with Houston, their defense, they shut down T.Y. Hilton for the better part of last week, held him to, I think, four catches. And I think if Houston decides, they kind of have to decide who they're going to shut down, if it's going to be Demaryius or if it's going to be Emmanuel Sanders. And because they can only pick one. I guess they could alternate, but Sanders has been getting essentially number one targets from Simeon compared to Demaryius, so I don't know if Houston's going to lean that way or if they're just going to say, look, Thomas is the number one guy, we're just going to shut him down. And then obviously if Will Fuller plays, is he going to benefit from essentially DeAndre Hopkins being shut down, and so he gets more looks as well. I'm not sure about Steve Smith at the flex. I just think he's had his one big week, and it was when Jordan played me. I don't really like any of the options that Jordan has to work with on his bench at flex. Obviously, Dez Bryant on the bye and then being hurt the past couple weeks has hurt him. It is certainly going to be a really tight one. Basically looking at their opponent rankings also, everything that is green for Pip is red for Jordan. And in the end, I think Pip's got more green in his wide receivers and his tight ends, and I think that becomes the difference. I'm going with Pip, but by less than two.
Wow. We have had some close calls this week, this year, but by two, huh? Jeez.
I think it's really tight.
Yeah, so I got to correct myself. I said Baltimore Run D. I meant New York Jets Run D, Terrence West. Both his running backs, which Jordan kind of was going to rely on, they don't have great matchups this week. And I like Marvin Jones and Demaryius Thomas, their matchups. I know that kind of seems as a surprise because it's Houston's D. But I like those two. And Buffalo's defense against Miami, I think that's going to help Jordan in the long run. But I do like Pip's team overall with his running backs, Drew Brees, who we all know can go off, and then Jamison Crowder. If Jordan Reed doesn't play, he's going against Detroit. So, and he's not going to get Darius Slay either. So I think he could have a big game, you know, maybe get 7, 8, 9 receptions. And, you know, he might not get 100 yards, but with the receptions in PPR, he's going to be doing pretty well. So I think Pip's going to get away with the win. Depends on what he does with Ty Montgomery or if he puts in someone else. But I think I'm going to go with Pip by 6.9.
I like the stretch play with Montgomery as a wide receiver 3. I also like that he's not locking up his flex on Thursday night. That's something I've talked about the past couple weeks. I think he might be maybe taking some of that advice, or he just feels like Montgomery is going to be a better play. But that Packers offense is going to be all pass, and it's going to be like Montgomery and Randall Cobb out of the backfield essentially running the ball, assuming Nile Davis figures out how to work the Packers offense or what they're doing with him. I like that stretch. I think it's a reach that could benefit him. And it also, it doesn't lock up his flex. If he doesn't like Brandon Marshall and the Geno Smith relationship against Baltimore, Arian Foster, Asiata could snake away a goal line catch or a goal line touchdown. Sammy Coates had a big week, but the Patriots defense is a little tough. So he's got options to play with, and I like that he's not locking up his flex on Thursday.
Yeah, I do have to agree with you. He actually asked me earlier in the day about Ty Montgomery or Torrey Smith, and I said Torrey Smith just because he's more dependable and he's going against that Tampa Bay defense. But in the aftermath of that answer, I've actually looked, and Ty Montgomery, although he had 10 receptions last week, and that was more than his career total before that game, Chicago ruled out both their cornerbacks, their starting cornerbacks, I believe. And so, like you said, they're going to be passing. So we could look at, you know, possibly Rodgers having 350, 400 yards. And who's he going to throw to? Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery, especially if Randall Cobb doesn't go. I don't know if he has been ruled out or not. And Devontae Adams, I think, is doubtful, correct?
Yeah, he's got a concussion.
Yeah. So that's going to be tough for him to go through that, especially after 3 days. So he can pretty much rule Devontae Adams out for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Pip. And I think that was a good explanation about why he's playing Ty Montgomery. I always am a little cautious about picking up a player and starting them that week, usually, which probably didn't work in my favor last week with not starting Cameron Meredith, but I would have lost either way, so whatever.
Right. So I guess we're both picking Pip. I'm seeing this as a tight one, and it obviously comes down to Monday night because that's when Jordan has two of his guys go. And again, it comes down to how much does Brock Osweiler go back to trusting Will Fuller after missing a week, and then who do the Texans shut down, Demaryius or Emmanuel Sanders. We're going to move on now to my matchup against Tim. But before that, we're going to talk about these trades I made. The one today, it's been the only trade so far this week, but it was Christine Michael for Matt Jones and Latavius Murray. You clearly don't like this trade, so please tell me why.
Well, they've already discussed that they wanted to kind of go in a timeshare with Latavius Murray. He was getting, I think, like, under 4 yards a carry the first 4 games before he got hurt. So he was at, I think he was at like 3.6 or something like that. And Jalen Richard and I want to say DeAndre Washington have actually kind of did the platoon, and they've actually worked pretty well on the ground. So I don't like Latavius Murray too much. I kind of just try and stay away from backfields that you're not going to have, you know, except for Devontae Freeman, who's actually been pretty successful, you know, sharing duties.
Right.
I do like, who was the other running back you got in that trade?
Matt Jones.
I do like Matt Jones. I know that sounds surprising, but I have him in another league, and he's actually performed pretty well. He's also going to go against Detroit's run game, run defense this week, so that's a good play, I think, on your part. But long-term and going down the line, I like Christine Michael a lot. From what I've read and what I've watched and heard, they actually like Christine Michael a lot, and they're going to probably keep with him and not really do like a platoon when Thomas Rawls comes back. Thomas Rawls is out for another 3 weeks or something like that, correct, Rick? You have him, so.
Yeah, they haven't said an exact timetable on when he's going to return, but I think before their bye week, their GM, for some reason, they had him making a comment saying it's going to be another 4 to 5 weeks before he's healthy, so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just really like Christine Michael. I think he's going to be a top 10 back the rest of the way. I know that sounds a little crazy, but yeah, I like him a lot. So I like that trade a lot for Pip. He gets, you know, two decent running backs for a top 10 back, which, you know, with Ingram not producing touchdowns, I think that goes in favor for him.
Yeah, I was texting Pip a lot, and I thought about this trade for probably over 15 hours because I did sleep on it. But I got stuck in a situation where Eddie Lacy was questionable and then doubtful, and now he's been ruled out. So my only healthy running back was Christian Michael, and I just kept thinking, well, damn, if I had waited one more week with Terrence West, one, I wouldn't have had to rely on the Arizona defense to try and get me a win on Sunday night because I would have had his 26 in my lineup. And I probably could have gotten a little bit more for him, but not only that, I wouldn't have had the trade, Michael. I would have had West and Michael together and probably still been running essentially the lineup I have now. So trading West a week early kind of screwed me over. I am glad that Will Fuller kind of put up a dud. I think he's going to start to become a forgotten option in that offense, especially with the way that the run game has worked with Lamar Miller. And then Osweiler just apparently wanting to feed DeAndre Hopkins the whole time.
Well, yeah, I think what's going on in Houston with their offense is a little anemic. Well, their pass offense, at least, is a little anemic. They're talking, you know, they've got Osweiler, who I forget, I think they put him, they signed him to a contract for $72 million this offseason.
Yeah.
So, like, they're trying to make him happy. They're trying to make DeAndre happy. So, like, I think part of the media actually played a part into part of the game plan. I know that sounds crazy, but I actually think that actually influenced them in making that kind of decision to kind of force-feed him, which has actually, I think, led to Osweiler sucking more ass than he already has.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he came through throwing to Fedor Dix down the end. They got that late touchdown to get into overtime, but...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't – they forced everything to DeAndre Hopkins in the pass game, and then occasionally he would look to Jalen Strong or he would look to that guy from Ohio State whose name I can't remember right now.
Braxton Miller.
Yeah, they went to Braxton Miller as a third option. Like, I think even, like, 1 week like that, like missing a week, even how good Fuller was the week before or a couple weeks before, I think he's dropped off. I think Hopkins is probably really upset that he's not getting the looks he's getting. He sees himself as a top receiver in the league. I'm kind of glad I've dumped off Fuller. I wish I had waited a week to trade West because then I would still have Christian Michael, but a trade's a trade. I'm glad that I have two healthy running backs, essentially. I'm hoping Lacy isn't out for a really long time because otherwise I have to deal with bye weeks again with Matt Jones and Latavius, which is a real pain in the ass. So speaking of my team, let's talk about my matchup with Tim. Tim had the second lowest score last week with 80, 33 of them coming from LeSean McCoy. The rest of the team didn't perform too well. Antonio Brown struggled without being Big Ben. Justin Forsett was not ready to play for the Lions. Gates and Tyler Lockett did about what people expected. I squeaked by with that win against Luke, taking the lead into Sunday night with Christian Michael getting his second score. The Colts did just poorly enough where T.Y. didn't kill me and Vinatieri wasn't kicking 50-yarders the whole time. Looking down, everything was a wash. I mean, the difference between Stafford and Newton was less than two. Our wide receiver twos and threes were complete washes. Flex and kicker were basically washes. It literally came down to Monday night, and my butthole has never been tighter. this week, it looks like I get Alex Smith or Famous Jameis going against the Saints and Niners, respectively, while going against Aaron Rodgers, who, like we've talked about, who could be on another level after this week, that about hearing how bad he is and no running game. So please, God, help me. Tim still needs to find a kicker for the week. So, Fronik, what do you think about a pair of former roommates going off against each other?
Well, we never really saw you, Rick, so it didn't really seem like, you know, you were a roommate, so I don't know about that. But as former roommates go, like you said, I really like Rodgers this week. He's kind of like, you know, when you talk about top quarterbacks like in a negative light and say, you know, oh, your team, you might need to fire the head coach and stuff like that. I actually think, you know, it really fires them up. So I think, like they did with Tom Brady, you know, where he was suspended for 4 weeks, I think Rodgers is going to go off. Chicago's defense, it's a Thursday game. You know, they're still recuperating. From this last week, they had a tough, I think they lost, right?
The Packers?
The Bears.
Oh, yeah, they lost really late to the Jags.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Jags.
So I think they're just going to be exhausted mentally, emotionally, and physically as well, because they're going to be banged up as well, the secondary. I like McCoy against Miami. That team is just trash, Miami is. Riddick is going against Washington, which is a very good matchup for him in the run department even. He doesn't get a lot of carries, but even when he does, he takes them, you know, pretty far. He has a pretty good yards per carry, I believe. But he also is really good PPR. Antonio, I'm sorry. I hate that Big Ben's out. It's hurting me. But I don't know if Antonio is going to do too well against New England, because he's got Malcolm Butler that's going to be shadowing him. So I don't think Antonio gets a touchdown this week. He's never gotten a touchdown without Big Ben.
Yep, I saw that.
Yep, and so it'll be a little hard to get numbers. He might get a lot of receptions, so that might work in his favor. But, you know, getting Antonio-like numbers is not going to really happen. Other than that, I don't really like his matchups with his wide receivers. He's got Lockett against Arizona, Anunua against Baltimore, which Baltimore allows the number one wide receiver a lot of points, but not really their second and third for some reason. That's kind of weird. But and then Alshon's going to be going against Green Bay, which, as we all know, Hoyer's been going more to Meredith and Royal and Zach Miller.
Yep.
So I think the running backs are better matchups for Tim than they are for you, just because he's got Theo Riddick and LeSean, and you've got Latavius Murray against Jacksonville. I do like Matt Jones against Detroit, but I think he wins the running back department. And then looking at your team, I really like Alex Smith and Macklin. I like doing the double duo against New Orleans, because if they don't get on track against New Orleans, we'll see. But you never know. Sometimes it depends on game flow, because like they did last week against a bad pass defense against Oakland, they decided to run the ball. And we have Jamal Charles back and Spencer Ware. They got that two-headed monster in the backfield, and they might just try and slow the ball or slow the game, because they know they can't really stop New Orleans' offense, because they've been pretty unstoppable this year. Julio against San Diego, no Stan Verrett, what's his face? Guy tore his ACL. The quarterback for San Diego.
I can't think of his name.
It's Verrett something. I can't remember his first name, but I like Julio a lot. Julio's projected 16.1. He might go over that. Emmanuel Sanders against Houston. He does a lot of slot work, so he might be getting a lot of receptions, maybe not a touchdown or two, but he'll get a lot of receptions probably. Zach Ertz against Minnesota, not too keen on that. I like Antonio Gates against Atlanta. And then nice pickup by Mike Davis. We'll see what he does, but Tampa Bay's strength of their defense has been their run defense, so... I think Tim needs to look into getting a kicker and getting a defense, because I don't think you can play a team just like last week where I needed to trade out my Carolina defense. He needs to drop or let go of Pittsburgh's defense against New England, because Tom Brady is pretty unstoppable thus far.
Well, the Steelers go for two positive weeks, a negative four, two positive weeks, and a negative four, and then they get New England into bye. So obviously, I mean, that's a positive, and then they'll go for negative four against Baltimore. But yeah, you talked about the Mike Davis pickup. I picked him up. It was right after I declined one of the trades you sent me this morning, because I looked that Hyde was questionable and I wanted to see who kind of was next, if it was Sean Drawn or this guy. And I picked up Davis, and then like a half hour later, there were the reports coming out that future Texas Longhorns head coach Chip Kelly was saying that Carlos Hyde probably won't play. So I'm like, all right, I guess I got the guy then. Not sure if I want to play him, because Tampa Bay does have that tough defense. And I think Michael Thomas has been getting a lot of red zone touches. And even though Kansas City's defense and New Orleans on the road are tough matchups, Thomas has gone three straight weeks with scoring, three straight weeks over 12. He's gotten at least four receptions all of those weeks, all season, really. I like what he's working with as well. And, I mean, just having Davis is, I guess it's a decent pickup. I don't know. He's like less than 2% owned the last I checked. 1%. He's up 0.9. So clearly not the hottest waiver wire ad. So what do you see in the end coming down in this matchup?
I think, like I said, Tim's going to win the running back matchup. You win the wide receiver matchup. I think the tight end matchup is a wash. I think it kind of comes down to your quarterbacks, and I really like Rodgers this week. So I think I'm going to take Tim by about 5, just because of Rodgers. And I just don't know about, like I said earlier, like I don't like really picking up a player and starting him right away, just because, you know, a player could have one big game one week, you know, in the 16-week season and or 17-week season, excuse me, and, you know, suck the rest of the way. So I think I'll go with Tim.
Yeah, Tim is on a 4-game losing streak, but in that streak he has scored over 100 every time except for last week when he put up the 80. Really, outside of Aaron Rodgers and LeSean McCoy, I'm not all that worried about his team. I think obviously Big Ben going down helps me a lot with Antonio Brown. I think I get big weeks out of my receivers, like you said, and they carry me. I'm taking myself by 8. And so, finally...
Just really quick. Okay. I just want to say, I feel like this matchup is a matchup of teams that have been screwed over by luck this year. Two different things, like Tim with the injury bug, you know, having Moncrief go down, and he had a couple other people go down, and then you've just been screwed up, I feel like, in matchups. Because you've actually been one of the higher scoring teams thus far this year, and Tim's actually, like you said, put up 100, you know, most weeks.
Yeah, I wrote it down in the intro, and I read it out. I am the third highest scoring team, and I am the second highest team scored against.
Hey, that's like me last year, dude. It's always that way.
Yeah, it's not the most fun, that's for sure. So finally, we have Fronik's matchup against Luke, saved by Lev Bell. We talked about what happened to Luke last week against me. It really sucks when you have the third highest score. You would beat 10 other teams except for the one guy you're playing. Fronik, you put up 85, 25 of which came from your number one pick, the Gronk. What did you think of your week last week?
It was a piss poor effort by my team. They need to pull it together, or else we're going to have a losing season. It's not good time to fall down and trip over, because going against Luke and going against Jared, which are must-win matchups, I feel like it comes down to tiebreakers and stuff like that, because those are two teams that I feel are for sure going to make the playoffs based on their rosters. So I feel like this is a pretty big win for Jared last week, and it just sucked because who knew that Big Ben was going to go down. Carlos Hyde went down. He played, I think he ran the ball 14 times, which he's used to, you know, getting 20, 24 carries a game. He didn't play any of the fourth quarter. And also I had Freeman go against Seattle and pretty much giving nothing. So this week it's not looking great for me because right now I've got Hoyer, but I like Hoyer with Cameron Meredith connection. I picked up the Bucks defense, which is a risky play, but right now I've got to take a couple risks against San Francisco. San Francisco's been pretty shitty, thanks Chip Kelly. And I'm also without Hyde, Benjamin, and Big Ben. So I feel like Luke always gets me when I'm weak, where I have like a lot of buys. Like last year, I think I had 4 buys against Luke when I played Luke, and I was like, are you kidding me? And I ended up somehow winning. But he always gets me when I've got buys or injuries or something like that. So I've got some risky plays with Hoyer, Tampa Bay, and Rudolph going against Philadelphia Eagles. And they've only allowed 1 touchdown to tight ends, which was to Vernon Davis last week when they just got their pants beat to hell. They just got crushed. So not looking good for me this week. Probably the matchups of low ball trades, probably is what I'd call it.
Yeah, looking at the projections, you are projected to lose at every single position except for tight end with the Gronk. So I'm not sure what that means, considering projections generally don't mean anything. Just kind of I think this is like one of the more lopsided projections I've seen in a long time. Also, looking at Luke's team, he told me a lot. He wishes he had started James White. I think he's just kind of like an angry start. I can't think of the word. 10 and 22 the last 2 weeks. I think he's only starting him really because he had the big week last week. I don't know if he's expecting a big week out of James White. He just feels like he's been fucked over because of how losing by 4. So it really came down to anything. So obviously the one switch last week would have helped him out. I don't know if I like that. That play, Gio Bernard is an RB2 against Cleveland, is great. Le'Veon's going to get his points, probably a lot more than normal with Big Ben down. Flex, I would look somewhere else other than James White. Maybe Tyrell Williams, seeing as Rivers is going to be looking to throw the ball a lot and the Falcons don't have the best pass defense. And then looking at your team, what did I write down here? Oh, yeah. Luke's got you beat at wide receivers 1 and 2, but I think you've definitely got that Meredith-Hoyer connection. That's going to pay off big. Sterling Shepard playing in London against the tough Rams defense. London games are generally a toss-up. Not sure how that's going to go. And then Crabtree against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's just kind of been okay so far against receivers. So not really sure how that one's going to work out, if it's going to be Calamari Cooper or Crabtree that's going to get more carries there. I think it's going to be pretty tight, but I think Luke having the wide receivers and then Le'Veon in that advantage over you, I think pays off. I wouldn't be too worried about James White or anything like that, but you're on the 2 tight end train, chugging along. All that said, yep. I think it's Luke by 9.
Okay. I think a couple more things I wanted to say is I think a big thing is it comes down to that Cincinnati-Cleveland game, which is asking for a lot of luck because A.J. Green versus Cleveland playing against that bad defense of theirs. Then he's got Cincinnati's defense against the Cleveland's anemic offense. And then he's also got Gio Bernard, too, going against the run defense. So if that game can, you know, be like a more of a 10-13 kind of game where there's not a lot of staff involved, I think that'll be helpful. Unless, you know, they go off, I think I can somehow maintain it. But it's going to be tough with A.J. Green going against Cleveland and Le'Veon Bell just being fed because no Big Ben and all that stuff. And they're going to try and be, you know, run heavy on that team. I also think I should be fine with T.Y. going against Tennessee. Tennessee's been actually surprisingly pretty good against most offenses. Their defense has been pretty well. And then if you look at the opponent ranks, I'm just going to read them off. So for Luke, he's got I think it's 10th, 8th, 22nd, 18th, 14th, 6th, 1st for Graham, 28th, 27th, and 24th. Whereas I've got 23rd, 30th, 19th, 25th, 29th, 28th, 19th, 2, 27th, and 16th. So I've got all green except for Rudolph. Whereas he's got, I think he's got 5 green. So I think it really helps that. But I still think Luke's going to win probably by 7 to 10 range, maybe, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, I think you having all of that green helps in that. I mean, obviously, mentally, you can feel better going in. Your guys could get more points. But your wide receivers are all second options. While he's got Green, T.Y., and Edelman, I guess, is a first option for wide receivers, but really it's Gronk and then maybe even Bennett. The way New England offense works is very confusing. I'll never understand it. So I think that's why he's projected more, even though he's got the more red, is he's got those number one guys that they know are going to get the ball, that they know are going to get receptions and points, while you've got the green with secondary guys where they can sneak in and get some receptions. Obviously, Crabtree is kind of like a 1A with Cooper, and Shepard behind Odell is a clear number two, and Meredith behind Alshon Jeffrey is a clear number two. So just kind of looking at how that is all worked out, I think that's why he's projected more, and I think his matchups, again, that Cleveland game, it's going to be a big one. I think that's going to decide it.
Yeah, I think if, you know, anybody from Cincinnati goes off, I think I'm kind of screwed because you've got A.J. Green, T.Y., and Le'Veon, and they've got all three decent to great matchups this week. Whereas, like you said, I've got a bunch of secondary options. Jerick McKinnon and Kyle Rudolph, sorry. It'll be interesting to see how they do coming off that bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for defense. But Rudolph, except for the last week before the bye, I think he's had a touchdown reception in every game thus far. Let me check. He's had 3 touchdowns against Green Bay, Carolina, and also the Giants. A touchdown a game each. So he hasn't put up, except for that game against Houston, he's put up more than 8.5 every week. So he is going against a tough run defense. Well, actually, the Eagles haven't been great against the run lately, but against the tight end defense, that should be interesting. So I think, Luke's probably going to beat me this week. It's tough because I've got the loss to Jared, and I play Luke, and then I also play you, who you might be 3-3, but you've actually, like you said, scored the second most or third most, I think, out of the league.
Scored the third most, given up the second most, so even still, you could have a big week against me.
Yeah, that is always true.
All right, well, thanks very much, Vronik, for being on. Glad you could make it back onto the podcast. It's been great.
All right, anytime, bud.
Once again, I'd like to thank Full Hauschka and Hokeback Mountain for being on the podcast. If you need more help with your fantasy lineup, listen to the guys on Fantasy Football Today on CBS Sports Radio. That's right here in Eugene on 95.3 The Score. That show airs from 8 to 9 a.m. Sunday morning, and they will have all the last-second lineup advice you'll need to help win your fantasy matchup. If you want even more help beyond that, follow them on Twitter at CBS Fantasy. Use the hashtag FFT. Thanks everyone for listening. This has been the Semi Products Podcast.